the title of the sermon this afternoon, The Perfectly Glorious Voice of the King. The Perfectly Glorious Voice of the King. A congregation of our Lord and Savior, it was early in the morning on the 9th of April 1968 when Cyclone Giselle hit Cape Reinga. Wind gusts of up to 160 kilometers an hour, massive damage to houses and buildings, and with the wind came torrential rain flooding the farmlands of Northland and drowning hundreds of thousands of farm animals. As the cyclone moved south down our country, it repeated that pattern of damage as it travelled across the North Island, down the east coast. Ships were driven ashore and landslips closed roads. The torrents of rain caused a lot of flooding and there were blown off roofs. And by the time that Cyclone Giselle hit Wellington, that was on the 10th of April, another storm had driven up the west coast of the South Island from Antarctica. Those two storms met together in the capital city, and the result of that was the sinking of the ferry Wahine with the loss of 51 lives. The storm then continued moving south, and when it arrived in Christchurch, people here lost their roofs. Some of you may remember that. Both the Avon and the Heathcote rivers flooded, and throughout Canterbury, over 500 hectares of forest was destroyed. All this to say, storms can be incredibly powerful today as in times past. And Psalm 29 uses the imagery of a storm which arises first in the Mediterranean Sea, then sweeps across the hill country of Israel before it peters out in the eastern desert area. The psalm, though, praises not the creation, not the forces of nature, but the Creator whose universal power is made evident through a great thunderstorm as it sweeps across the sea to make landfall in the Middle East. So we're going to see three truths about this psalm this afternoon. It's a psalm about divine rule, it's a psalm about God's word, and it's a psalm about Christ. So firstly, a psalm about divine rule. So I don't need to tell you that in the post-COVID-19 world, there's been a huge upheaval globally. Many national leaderships have struggled to make good, timely decisions and to communicate these adequately to their populations. Even in countries like our own, which have been blessed with having almost eliminated the virus, questions still remain about just how much control our government can have over the virus, the economy, and the well-being of New Zealanders like you and I. Ultimately, and we know this to be true, all human leaders are weak because not one of them has complete control over everything. They may make promises, especially leading up to an election, but they have no absolute power to be able to ensure those promises are fulfilled. This world, as we know, is fundamentally broken because of sin. As the Apostle Paul writes, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth. What this world needs is a ruler who will sort out all the problems. And that ruler is the ruler that Psalm 29 reveals to us, the king who is the subject of the psalm. It's one of eight psalms that particularly refer to the king, and it's one of these kingship psalms. The other ones are 47, 93, 95, 96, 97, 98, and 99. And I plan, as I've indicated, to preach on this short series of psalms in the coming weeks in the evening service. Notice, if you have your Bibles open, how prominently in the psalm the word Lord is. It actually occurs 18 times in 11 verses. It's the Hebrew name Yahweh, which is the name of the covenant God of Israel, as first revealed to Moses through a burning bush that didn't disintegrate. I am who I am. And God said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am who I am expresses the truth that God knows his own self-existent nature. He is the one who has supreme, complete authority over everything else and who alone is the source of revelation, ultimately. The name Yahweh derives from the Hebrew verb to be and is the personal name of the self-existent God. Reverence for the divine name led to the practice of using the word Adonai, or Lord, in the pronunciation of the Hebrew scriptures, and to translate that. And so in the English translations, as the one we have before us, so you can easily recognize that Hebrew name Yahweh because the word Lord is in capitals. Psalm 29 begins with a call to the heavenly beings to praise the Lord, who is glorious in his strength and holiness. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. And the word ascribe literally means to give. It's not that God's creatures need to give him glory or strength that he somehow lacks, but rather that they attribute to him or they render to him that which he is most worthy of, praise for his glory, strength, and splendid holiness. We can see that this psalm is about divine rule from verse 10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. And that word flood might bring to mind, and it probably should bring to mind, firstly, the creation where God ruled over the watery mass of the earth, Genesis 1:2, transforming it into an ordered world where life could flourish. And secondly, the word flood brings to mind the global flood in the days of Noah, when he caused the whole earth to be covered with water and then to recede again, leaving only 8 people alive, Noah and his family. Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel, is the gloriously strong, supreme king who is enthroned forever over his creation. And he is most worthy of our praise. That's part of why we're here this afternoon, to praise this great king who is most worthy of honor. It's a psalm, this psalm, about divine rule. It's also a psalm about God's word. And that brings us to our second point. Any of you who've been in or seen or heard a large storm knows that they are very loud. There's the deafening sound of rushing wind, the waves that crash on the shore, the peals of thunder, and the noise of trees breaking and houses being destroyed. And the middle section of this psalm, Psalm 29, is just full of noise, full of noise. And the Hebrew word translated voice in this psalm can be rendered sound. It's the word that the Lord God is used of the Lord God just after the fall from holiness of our first ancestors, Genesis 3:8. They heard the sound or the noise or the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Hearing the voice or the sound of God had a profound effect on Adam and Eve. It brought fear and shame and guilt. As Adam says, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. In the psalm, the sound of the Lord is likened to a huge storm. His voice is over many waters, verse 3. His voice is powerful. His voice is majestic, verse 4. It's honorable. It's full of splendor and glory. His voice breaks the tall cedars of Lebanon. And they, if you recall from Bible times, were symbols of strength in the Old Testament. His voice is bright like fire. It's a symbol of his holy presence. His voice causes the earth to tremble. His voice gives life to the deer, a graceful, gentle creature full of energy and able to climb up to the high places, Habakkuk 3:19. Notice, if you count carefully, that the voice of the Lord is referenced 7 times in this short psalm. And the word, or rather the number 7 in Scripture, symbolizes completeness or perfection. And so the King who is revealed to us in this psalm has a perfectly glorious voice. And as you read this psalm, you'll notice that there are a number of different place names. Lebanon, Syrian, that's another name for Mount Hermon, and the desert of Kadesh. And the significance of those names is that they are all places that are outside of the geographical region that Israel controlled at that time of history. And so the message from those names is very clear. The Lord is the mighty creator who has all the forces of nature completely under his control, not just within the land of Israel, but everywhere. How then does the Almighty King rule over the entire universe? It's by means of his voice, his word. It's by means of his word that he first created all things visible and invisible, Hebrews 11:3. God reveals himself through this creation, which is the product of his voice, of his word. His invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So the general revelation of the creation is the revelation that is the product of his voice. And then the word itself is inscripturated in the Bible, is the special means by which God reveals himself to mankind. And this psalm, Psalm 29, as part of the scripture, is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. It's a psalm, in brief, about God's word. And thirdly and finally, it's a psalm about Christ. That's our final point. Big storms are terrifying events. When a great windstorm arose on the Sea of Galilee, as recorded by Mark, Matthew, and Luke, the disciples of Jesus woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" When the powerful voice of Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea, he simply said, "Peace, be still," and he completely calmed that storm. The effect of that on the disciples was incredible. They were filled with great fear. I mean, think about that for a minute. The storm had ceased. They had been terrified of the storm. The storm's now ceased, and they are fearful, filled with great fear. And they said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The effect of the command of Christ on the storm was terrifying to his disciples, just as the voice of God in the Garden of Eden had been terrifying to Adam and Eve, because it exposed them as who they had become, rebels who had no place in God's good world. They'd resisted the rightful rule of the King. They'd not obeyed his word of warning of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, "You shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Later in history, God made promises to David, the author of this psalm, Psalm 29. Like Adam and Eve, David was a rebel. He had no place, ordinarily, naturally, in God's kingdom. And yet the Lord made a promise to a man who was a forgiven sinner. And he said through the prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel 7, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers," that basically says when you die, "I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Jesus Christ is this promised descendant of David who is enthroned forever. And it's because Jesus willingly submitted himself to his heavenly Father's rule, always obeying the voice of God the Father, that God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so you see in brief now that it is in Christ that David's prayer at the end of the psalm is answered. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. It's because of Jesus that the Lord strengthens and blesses people like you and me with peace. Jesus is the King who has conquered sin and death and reigns over the whole universe. Now, his rule, we know, is not acknowledged by many people today. But the time is coming when everyone will see him for who he really is. All will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is this glorious King whose glorious voice goes out. What's the best thing to do when you see a large storm approaching? It's to seek shelter. And the only safe place for the coming storm of God's judgment is in Christ. Ultimately, Jesus himself is the sanctuary spoken about in verse 9, where in his temple all cry glory. And so, having heard this afternoon the voice of the Lord in Psalm 29, what is your response to this glorious voice of the Lord? Is it fear, shame, and guilt because his voice has exposed what needed to be seen? Or is it faith, trust, and confidence in him? This powerful voice of the Lord continues to work in the hearts of people like you and me. And this world desperately needs a ruler who can sort out all the problems that face us. That ruler is Christ. So please don't be misled by what you see in the media. Please don't think that we just need another government in New Zealand who can really sort everything out, or another world power. There's only one ruler who can ultimately sort out all the problems, and that is the ruler this psalm points to, Christ the King. He's ultimately the calmer of all storms, whether they're storms on the global stage or whether they're storms in our own hearts and lives. He's the one who gives strength and blesses his people with peace. And in him, brothers and sisters, congregation, we are completely safe and secure from whatever storms come. Amen.